Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we are continuing our series this week. We're going into our third month dealing with praying for household salvation. And today, if the Holy Spirit leads that direction, we will be concluding. Just in the past lessons, we have the main focus has been what God says and what the Bible says about praying for our loved ones. We all have concerns for our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, close friends, and even family members who are like friends who are like family members. And we, as those that are saved and know Jesus as our personal Savior, we are actually the priest over that particular area. So for past teaching, we talk about the role of those that are saved, or we use in this situation, in this lesson, we use the word role of, as the priest, or the role as a Christian over your household responsibility, the spiritual right, the authority, and that we have as believers, and the boldness that God has called us to, as well as what the Bible says about praying for our loved ones. We also have talked in the past about friendship evangelism is what I call it, but the priesthood of friendship, the priesthood of the firstborn. We went into detailed study about the firstborn. Sometimes they have so much responsibility. I had even saw a quote this week. It was saying, for those of you parents who, you know, have had children, about putting all the responsibility on the kids, sometimes it grows them up, especially if there's other children that they have to take care of. But it was someone who had blogged in reference to a younger sibling that was the oldest, that had four or five other children to take care of. But it's the what the scripture says about that, which is really in depth. Also, we have discussed in some of the past sessions about what we're to do as far as priestly intercession and the hindrances that have been there. And we have concluded with this particular portion on exercising spiritual warfare for our families as a warrior priest, or as a Christian, I would say, standing in the gap, praying a hedge, and praying for household salvation. And last week, we talked about point D of that particular point of travailing in prayer and in labor. And we will pick up on the last two points and then go into prayer of binding and loosing. So just to go over the travailing part, we will not go in depth on that again, but it's not begging or pleading with God, birthing and waging warfare. That's enduring pain of others for others, and how we, the scripture says, we may what sow in tears, but we will reap. You know, reap, there will be a reaping, and that we will experience the joy. And we've gotten away from the groaning in the spirit, the intercession, and the crying out. But let's talk today about the last three, four points of the travailing in prayer, which is in praying intensely, which that's that fervent prayer where you just stretched out, and then praying daily. And there's a persistence there. And then the last point on that will be fasting. And we conclude with that. We will go to number E. Our final point is the prayer of binding and loosing. And there are four points under that. So this is a teaching, and we really want you, if you can, sit down and take notes, or if you're driving or just multitasking, we just thankful that you're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. And I know there are so many testimonies
of household salvation, because God gives us strategies in the Word of God. They're like the binding and the loosing, and what we're speaking over our loved ones and what we're believing for and standing in the gap that really works for us. So let's look at Acts, the 12th chapter. That's Acts 12 and verse number 5. And I read from the message today. And let's start in verse 5. And it says, all the time that Peter was under heavy guard in the jailhouse, what the church prayed for him. And in the message, it says, most strenuously. So there was strenuous prayer that was being prayed as he was in the jailhouse. The church, they were praying on his behalf. Yeah. So they were praying on his behalf. And we know the story. Suddenly an angel appeared at his side, and he told him, he gave him some instructions to get dressed, to put on your shoes. Peter did that, and we know the result, that what they had prayed for, they saw the result. He was actually at the door, and he obeyed what the angel said. He gave him instructions what to do it quickly. So here's the point that we're emphasizing here. The word here, he prayed intensely. They were praying intensely for Peter. And they prayed that when he did knock on the door, they didn't even, Rhoda went to the door, they were like, oh, it can't be him, but it was him. So that's a whole nother lesson, and we went in depth on that in some of the other teaching. But expectation is very important. So in the travailing in prayer, we are praying intensely, we're praying fervently, and that's almost like we're stretched out, laying before God and giving him everything that's within us, that travailing prayer. And I think as the body of Christ and as the church, everybody is so busy. And actually, just a little side note, I've taken the word busy out of my schedule. You know what that means? It means to have a fainted heart, a heart of death in the Chinese word. And I never knew why I didn't. People would say, oh, I'm busy, busy, busy. And I just said, oh, I don't use that word. And just in the last week, I heard someone say, or I read somewhere, that busy, that it actually means death to the heart. But we want to thrive in what we do, and we want to be able to be in the blessing of God and what God has for us. Okay, so now let's look back to the point in Luke 22 and 4. That was just a little side note there. 22 and 4, Luke 22 and 4. And again, I'm reading in the message, and those of you who know, sometimes the message will include within a paragraph two to three verses or more. But here I'm starting in 3 to 6. It says, then when Satan entered Judas, the one called Iscariot, he was one of the 12, leaving the others. He conferred with high priests and the temple guards about how he might betray Jesus to them. They couldn't believe their good luck and agreed to pay him well. And he gave them his word and started looking for a way to betray Jesus, but out of sight of the crowd. So we see here, and I'm reading from, that's Luke, that's the 22nd chapter, and 3 to 6. Now let's move down here a little further in Luke, and we are going to actually look at verse number, we'll start at verse 40, let's start at verse here again, it starts at 41. And then he pulled away from them about a stone throw, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, remove this cup from me, but please, not what I want, what you want. And at once an angel from heaven was at his side, strengthening him, and he prayed on all the harder, and sweat wrung from him like drops of blood poured off his face. So in the scripture here, we see there's that prayer, there's that intensity, that fervency, where he was stretched, that stretching out. And sometimes we have to do that. Here he's being tempted by Satan, and he's going through so much, but he's travailing, and he's travailing in prayer. And all this is benefiting. I think when we do that for our family and for our family members, what God is doing and what he can do. So we're just decreeing, even if it's Jesus, as he was in his situation, even as Peter was in his situation, even as your family member is in their situation, we have to pray intensely. We have to have that fervent prayer. And sometimes we just have to, that being stretched out and laying before God. And as the Message Bible said, strenuously they were praying. You know, that's not works, but it's travailing. And the time that God took me up into the Holies of Holies for 5 hours, I was weeping. It was strenuous, so strenuous on my stomach that my muscles hurt because I was crying on behalf of the church. And God hears that type of prayer, and that's what we might have to do when we're calling out or crying out on behalf of our loved ones, and that with the fervency and the persistency, God is wanting us to pray intense. Sometimes I remember a friend of ours, he said he wanted to lead a prayer meeting, and he was a little intense. Of course, you know that we have talked about the celebration of discipline, and this is just one area that we're discussing, that we're talking about. But, you know, with some, my greatest prayer time is I'm a meditator. I love meditating and laying before the God, before the Lord. Sometimes it's serenity. We just came out of 50 days being in the woods. Sometimes it's just sitting still. Sometimes God, he may have you to do different things and different ways. Sometimes prayer, which we're going to get to our next step, is fasting. But it may not always be that the strenuous prayer, but this is one of the forms that God used. So back to the point, the young man that he was saying that he was praying and leading the prayer meeting, that the pastor was like, well, it doesn't take all that. And then he said the pastor didn't want to lead prayer. He didn't want to travail. But then what ended up happening was that he ended up in a situation where the pastor ended up falling. So we just never know, you know, how and what God is going to do and how God is going to lead in that particular area. And so that's what God, he's asking and what he's wanting us to do. So let's look at Colossians, the first chapter. Let's move over to there, to Colossians 1. And then we are going to look at verse number 9, Colossians 1 and 9. And again, we'll read through 12. I'm reading from the Message. It says, be assured that from this first day we heard of you. We haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you will live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hand in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. And we pray that you have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Now that will preach by itself. So praying daily, praying intensely, praying fervently, but here we see praying what? Persistently. Sometimes you might pray for years. Sometimes it might take years to get where you want to be. It might take years for the family members to get where God wants them. You know, I'm looking at someone, can think of several people that Pastor Star and I have been mentoring, and it's been about 5 years, and we see the growth. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. We've seen where we pray for family members, and maybe God didn't do it the way we thought, but God is bringing them around. It may be a hard situation where your family member may be in a relationship that you're wanting them to get out of, but you don't know because you know it's not, it's detrimental to them, but you just never know how God is going to do it. It may be the one they're in the relationship with that you may not think has been benefiting the relationship that might be the one that gets saved. And you might be ministering to them, and then they're ministering to your loved one. So you can never put the Lord in a box. And salvation is progressive. We never arrive. We're constantly going from faith to faith. We're constantly growing in the things that God has for us. So let's be persistent. Now I want to read, we read out of the Message, but I want to read out of the King, good old King James Version, Colossians 1 and number 9. And the King James Version, Colossians 1, it says, "For that cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So we see here in the book of Colossians, in this great letter that was written, that there is that continuous, steadfast, fervent, persistent prayer. Now, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, and we're getting to point number 7, and that's on fasting. Thank you so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we're talking today about, when I say we, the Holy Spirit, about what God does in us and through us when we travail in prayer and in laboring. We talked about the birthing last week, birthing the baby, birthing, even the earth is groaning, not begging or pleading with God, but birthing and waging warfare, enduring the pain of others for others, and sowing and reaping and joy and groaning in the spirit. But today we're focusing specifically on prayer and intensity and fervently and just stretching out before God. And we saw in the message it says strenuously. And point 6 was praying daily, being persistent. don't give up. You may not see the fruit all at once, but some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. Those roots are going deep, and you'll see the fruit. And we're speaking that prophetically over you today, for you and your household shall be saved. Yes, you and your household shall walk in the divine blessings of what God has. So my back to my point of my one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Isaiah, the 58th chapter. That's Isaiah 58. And, you know, this is one chapter that I think we really misconstrue. And we don't minister from it. I believe sometimes we talk about the fasting and the praying, but the Lord here is really asking for us to bind the wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. And he's saying in this chapter, is it not to deal the bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor and that are cast out of your house? This is a true fast. If you go on to read this, this is what he's saying. He's saying this is the true fast. It's to take care of your own flesh. Now, that is in verse 7 of Isaiah 58, and a lot of people don't see that. That's one of the first things in the evangelistic tool and in the evangelistic outreach is to take care of your own flesh and blood. He says, is it that you shouldn't take care of the naked and cover him and hide him? And thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh and blood, rather. It says, then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. It's even saying here that when we do these things, it says that our health, you've been suffering, and you've been feeling bad, and you've been feeling down. It says when we start doing these things, then our health will spring forth speedily. We won't even have to go up in the prayer line. It's just what this word of God says that will happen to us. And it says, and then if you want your light to shine, it says your life will shine as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call on the Lord, and he's going to answer. You will cry, and God's going to say, you'll be like, God, Jesus, and he'll say, here I am. But he says before that, he says, I don't even hear you. He says, but if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And you're like, okay, God, what's the will? The will for me? He said, when you start taking care of your own flesh and blood and doing the things I've called you, the true fast, he said, then he'll guide you, and he'll satisfy your soul from drought, and he'll make your bones fat. And you will be like a well-watered garden. I love this chapter. And like a spring of waters, whose waters fail not. And that they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. And you shall rise and raise up the foundations of many generations. And you will be called the repairer of the breach. And I just see this. You will bring forth a legacy in your family that you will have household salvation, and generation to generation to generation will come forth from your loins, that generation to generation will be birthed in the spiritual realm. And it says that if you do these things, because he says, you will ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father from the mouth of that the Lord has spoken. But you know what? in the beginning of this chapter, you know what it says? It says that you get together and you fast food, that you're talking about the body of Christ. And then you talk about everybody in the church. And you're complaining. And then it says you strike your workers with the fist. And it says, I don't hear you until you've taken care of your own flesh and blood. This is the true fast that he is talking about. And even if we can look over in Daniel, we see how God, even with Daniel, about the fast. So sometimes it's not, sometimes we think it's, oh, well, you know, I'm going to have to go on a three-day fast with without water or with water, or I'm going to have to do it this way. And God says, no, he said, that's not the, he said, that's not the fast that I'm calling. He wants you, just wants you to seek him daily. And I just love that. One of the first things, own flesh and blood. And the NIV, it references that our family are saved. Now, isn't that amazing? It says when we go and reach out to our family. Now, I wanted, let's move over to Daniel. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. We're talking about lifestyle for lifetime holiness. And we are believing for a household salvation. And I just love the true fact that it's spoken of in Isaiah 58. And being an evangelist, that's why I take this chapter so personal. Because so many times this chapter is preached at the beginning of the year to fast, and we're doing the Daniel, actually the Daniel's fast or fasting for 10 days or whatever, but it has nothing to do with fasting, because basically it's saying here when you do fast, you're fighting, you're striking the fish with the fist with your workers. And that's why the family isn't getting saved. But when, and you know what, from this chapter, before we read Daniel, I believe that when we get our priorities in line according to the word of God and what God is saying for our household salvation, I believe that when we do that, then everything else we want will line up, even the will of God. It says that here. Not about, it says nothing about fasting except when you fast, you strike the fist. But he said the true fast is taking care of your family and putting them first. Some people get so ridiculed, but God wants you to be the covering of your family, to take care of those are unfortunate. It talks about the widow. And then it says, then you're going to have a healing in your family. You're going to have a healing in your body. And it says that the will of God will be done, and he's going to guide you. And then he says, I haven't even heard you before because you've been fasting and praying and pushing away the plate, but your heart hasn't changed. But when you turn your heart towards these issues, he said, you're going to beam and you're going to be walking through, and people are going to be like, wow, you're shining like the noonday sun. I saw you go by and a light was on you. And you're just like, because I'm doing the Isaiah 58 fast. He said, the true fast is taking care of your own flesh and blood. Now, we're going to look quickly, and I'm going to close with this. Our time is up, and we did not get to the final point of number E, which is praying, abiding, and loosing. And we will continue with that if the Holy Spirit leads that way on next week. But Daniel, verse chapter 10, and we will start with 2, and I'll read 3, and then we'll move down. In those days, I, Daniel, was what? Mourning. He was mourning 3 full weeks. He ate no pleasant bread. He neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now let's go down to verse number 12. And I'm reading now from the King James Version. Then said he under me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart, see, it goes back to a heart issue, to understand and chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me the 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now let's go down to verse number 20. And then said he, thou, wherefore I come unto you, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So this came through fasting and prayer with a pure heart. And so we decree today over you, we decree over your household salvation, as you pray intensely, as you fervently pray, as you're daily persistent and fasting and taking care of your own flesh and blood, and ask God, Lord, what could I do to help to spiritually grow and to help my family to grow in the spiritual aspects that you would have them to grow, to come closer to you, Lord. And just like Peter, when the whole household were persistently and fervently praying, expect your loved ones to come into the door of the church. Expect them to knock on the door and say, Lord, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. What would you have me to do, Lord? Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord. Expect that miracle as you pray. Don't say, oh, it's Peter. And then the people are saying, oh, it couldn't be. Believe what you're praying for, because the angelic host are moving on your behalf. And we believe that by this time next week, there is even God is going to move in your family as you're praying and you're asking God on behalf of your family to be saved. And as you're groaning and as you're crying out, we believe that there shall be a manifestation. So we'll say thank you so much. And next week, we will start with the praying of binding and loosing, how you can bind the strong man and pray in the power of agreement, and praying for the release. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.